All right, it's the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Dave and Logan along with you, fourth and final hour. It's been a fun ride this season, these Wednesdays, with our buddy Steve Colquitt from Georgia Sports Communication. Steve, good morning, sir.
It's almost over, isn't it?
You're going to be with us next week, aren't you?
Well, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Football season is almost over.
But then how many XFL guys are we going to have?
Well, that's on our notes.
Oh, yeah.
The preview.
We're going to be talking about it.
I feel like Steve's just trying to keep his gig here at the radio station.
He's got it whenever he wants.
He says we could always come talk some XFL, maybe some Major League Baseball dogs. The PGA dogs are just getting fired up this season.
We've got the dogs at the Wasted Management this weekend.
We've got an LPGA rookie now.
Who is that?
Jillian Hollis.
Oh, okay, excellent.
Made her debut last
week.
Good
for her.
Yeah, so.
Good for her. Plus, Coach Brewer, I want to get him on the show, mm-hmm. too. He's got three of his golfers in the Augusta tournament.
That's right.
Yeah, that is fantastic.
Amateur, that's fantastic.
Awesome. They've got a really good chance at doing something this spring, so they're going to be a fun team to watch.
Oh, well, absolutely, absolutely. Well, Steve, do we have football this past weekend? We had the Pro Bowl.
Should we start there?
Where do you want to start? We can start about I figure we'll get around to him at some point.
Let's give the Pro Bowl some love.
All right.
Since the AFC won and all of our guys were from the AFC. So the AFC guys won 38-33. And I don't know if you guys watched any of it. I doubt you did. Most folks didn't.
It was on. I'll put it that way. It was on.
It was on while the Kobe stuff was going, and it just kind of got... Yeah, push to the side.
And the irony is, of course, Hardman didn't play because of the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Board, right.
And what little I did see, they didn't do a lot of returns on either kicks. Well, none on kicks.
Yeah.
And mostly punts were just catch it and then
so it wasn't
they would
automatic
body,
fair
body
catch?
You up. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so he would not have had much of a role in that anyway. But, Nick Chubb started for the AFC at tailback and four carries, 23 yards, and got himself out of there. And Geno Atkins had a tackle. Also for the AFC. So,
by the way, your score on there, AFC 38-33. This is the first time I'm seeing that. I had no idea. I hate to say that.
The AFC also had bragging rights in the skills challenge. We talked about that a little bit last week, and Nick also participated in that. There was a gauntlet challenge, which looked like Dave, looked like some of those shows that you and I used to watch on Nickelodeon. You know, where they would run through slime and.
Oh, yeah.
Have balls thrown at them.
Yeah. That was my heyday as well, man.
It was American Gladiators kind of stuff, I think, you know.
What was it like?
American
do
Gladiators.
You want the physical challenge or the psychological challenge?
Double dare, man.
Yeah.
Double dare. So
you had to reach up that nose and pull out the flag
at
the end of
it. Was that the slime one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I bet Nickelodeon's just everything had slime.
Yeah.
Some way, shape, or form. But Double Dare, at least in my growing up, that was the show to watch that everybody dreamt of getting on that show one day.
Well,
Double Dare.
Mark Summers.
Well, this was all physical challenge AFC.
Okay.
Yeah, AFC.
No psychological challenges.
Not that I saw.
Time for a battle of the wits.
But Nick was on the winning team there. He survived the gauntlet challenge. In fact, he had to dive through a foam brick wall. That was the finish line. And he beat his guy there, and that was the winning point on the gauntlet challenge. And then he was actually one of the last two remaining in dodgeball along with his teammate, Jarvis Landry. So AFC swept the weekend, if you will, at the Pro Bowl.
Did you watch any of it?
No.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, yes, of course.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of it.
How do you think I have so many
great
notes?
How do you think I got the details?
Thank you, NFL.com.
This is where Steve is learning. He's taking something away from his radio spot because he's realizing you don't have to watch something to be able to talk about it as if you watched it. So good job, Steve. I appreciate your notes and able to talk as if we watched every play of it.
I still try to prep though, just in case.
What was the thinking on the Pro Bowl moving from Hawaii to, I guess, is it in Orlando?
It's kind of
Orlando.
Bounced around, hasn't it? Or is it stuck in Orlando? I don't know.
I don't know.
You know, you and I remember it as being the Hawaii deal, but mm-hmm. I think it's been in Florida the last several years now.
Because I thought that was always a big treat for the players was to get to go to Hawaii.
Right. Right.
Wasn't it, Steve? Was it you telling us a lot of players said that after that trip they came out in the red because they. Have to pay for all their family to come out there as well. And it's not like they couldn't afford it, but it wound up being a little bit of a burden to some of those guys that maybe didn't have just pockets full of cash.
Well, that's a good point, though. Mm. If you're going to take your family somewhere, like if you've got smaller kids, which a lot of those guys do, probably Orlando's better than than Hawaii, maybe.
Well, and I don't know if logistically for those guys, but if you're in the Final Four, you also don't know if you're going to be going to the Pro Bowl
Until
the last minute. Yeah. So. I don't know, but
I do notice the skills challenge. Thank goodness none of it took place on sand.
Yeah,
because that horrible incident with Robert Edwards so many years ago just awful.
It's hard not to think about these skills challenges without thinking about what happened to Robert.
It was terrible.
And just what a tragedy that was, and how that curtailed his career.
Almost lost his leg.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously he got back in the NFL. Actually, thanks to a lot of help through the sports medicine staff here, Ron Corson and his team, but. I don't think he had, 3, 4, 5 years maybe after that. And just
I'm sad.
Just not the same. But, Robert's done a nice job with coaching and has found that sort of next path for himself.
The captain of Tennille, Robert Edwards.
The Edwards family. Got the Edwards, the Baileys, and the Stinchcombs. You could win a lot of games with that lineup.
No kidding. Ready for those next generation of those families to come along. It'd be good, too. All right, what else you got over there, Steve?
Well, speaking of generations, and we talked about this a little bit last week, so the pride of Elbert County, and you were right, Dave, McCole Hardman Sr. and his brother, Ken, or Kendrell Hardman, they were the first Hardmans to set the bar.
Right.
And I was reading an article this week. It was a little dated, but it was it was Hardman Sr. talking about when Hardman Jr., was growing up and how he and Uncle Ken really pushed him. They had their own legacy, and they knew that he had that ability as well. So they really pushed him to say, hey, let's continue the family name. Let's get to that next level. And boy, has he done that and more.
That name now in the Super Bowl.
How about that?
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. A year ago, he's playing here for Georgia, and now he's a rookie in the Super Bowl. In fact, don't let me forget, someone asked about rookies in the Super Bowl or winning the Super Bowl. I got it.
I love it.
I did my homework.
That was got the info.
I don't want to let your listeners
that
down.
That was Traffic Trooper Justin that wanted to know about that.
Let's be sure we take care of him this morning.
Well, do we want to talk about McCole now, or do we want to?
Yeah, let's dive into McCole.
They had the opening night ceremony. I guess it was Monday.
Yeah.
And before they did that, I saw where they mic'd up McCole, and they had a camera follow him around, and boy, was that fun to watch.
Yeah, it was.
McCole with a camera and a microphone, just get out of the way. He's having a good time with teammates. He's having a good time with the team owner. It was the Hardman that we know and love, the one who loves life, who loves football, who loves being a part of a team.
I don't mean to say the same thing every single week, but it's so refreshing just to see somebody have success and enjoy it, because plenty of athletes can appear like they're not having any fun at all on these levels. I love what you texted me, I think it was yesterday, the shirt that he wore, I guess, was that getting on the plane to Miami?
Yeah, stepping off the plane. It looked like a Hawaiian print, but it had the Chiefs logo on it.
I love it.
And I thought that was great. Another thing that I read in some of the opening night stuff, someone was asking the Chiefs general manager about Hardman. And I'm just going to read this because I thought this was really telling as to what kind of player he's become for them. The Chiefs GM said, "Who you draft, where you draft, and where they are from, you never really know. But from day one, McCole stepped on the field with a lot of confidence. He know that he belongs." Now, that's the guy that we know. I mean, that's the confident McCole Hardman, that we know. And he said he's a guy who doesn't lack for confidence, and I think it shows in his play. He said from day one, he's out there with Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
And he's talking trash and let's have a foot race and just making the team chemistry that they needed by coming in and not being the kind of guy who says, "I'm going to take your job," but rather, "I'm going to accentuate what you do, and our team's going to be even better."
Their confidence is a major ingredient to have success at this level. And there's some guys that use that confidence in maybe a negative way. And then there's guys like McCole that use it in a very fun way. Like I said, it's just a joy to watch. And I would go as far as to say, Steve, if he was playing for the Saints, I'd still cheer for Meikle right now. That's how much I like
this
kid.
That's a high
right
bar,
now.
Then.
Wow.
That's a high bar. So he's becoming very quickly mine and a lot of other people not in Chiefs Kingdom, one of their favorite players in the NFL. It's awesome to see.
There, you know, I've been lucky to work with a lot of athletes through the years, and there are those that you feel like never have a bad day. You know, Missy Franklin would be one of those.
Right.
I don't think Missy Franklin ever had a bad day. Olivia Smaliga from our swim team. But I would put Mecole Hardman in that category as well. That guy always had a smile on his face, always had a joke to tell. And you could tell, again, he was just loving life. He loved being part of a team. He loved being part of a brotherhood. And you know, good for him that this rookie season is ending. Whether they win or not, he'll never forget the ride they've had this year.
Just a little quick anecdote about Meikle is it was last year at G-Day. We were doing, as Brame and I were doing the pre-G-Day remote over at the bookstore. And we're up at the top, you know, where we set up our radio booth, and we're right behind where Meikle is signing autographs as part of the G-Day pregame festivities. Now, this is, what, just about a week or so before the draft. It wasn't long at all, but somehow Brame and I started talking about Meikle, and he hears us. And he comes running around that curtain. He stood up from his autograph session and got right between us. He's like, what are you guys talking about? Why is my name popping up? And just for a very
whose
brief...
butt do I need to whip?
Yeah, it was just for a very brief moment, he sat there with us, and I pulled my phone out and took a quick selfie with him over there. But it's just, he's living in every single moment and making the most and having the most fun in that moment. So it's just he's a fun person to be around.
And let's be clear about one other thing. You know, it's not just the Georgia people that are proud of him and where he is, but Elbert County and the city of Bowman. There's a sign as you go into Bowman that says the home of Mecole Hardman Jr.
Good. Cool.
And I saw on Twitter this week where the Elbert County school system is reminding all students and faculty and staff to wear red and gold on Friday to school.
That's awesome. They get Monday off?
They don't get Monday off, but they want them to to support Meikle from afar by wearing their red and their gold.
And I'm sure, and listen, I'll personally be pulling for him big time on Sunday. But if he wins, I can imagine that he'll, or win or lose, I take that back, he'll be around those kids sooner rather than later, just to kind of follow up on this whole season.
Well, we talked about that too. You know, he has a group of kids that he goes and visits down in Elbert County fairly consistently.
Yeah.
So I'm sure as soon as he has some downtime and he's back in the state of Georgia, that's going to be one of his first stops, is to go back to his old school.
Sure would be nice to show off that trophy in the process. That'd be pretty sweet.
You know, I thought this was interesting too. The special teams coordinator for the Chiefs was the special teams coordinator for the Bears when Devin Hester was there. And of course, Devin Hester returned an opening kickoff for a touchdown in the Super Bowl, the first man, the only man to ever do that. And the special teams coordinator was saying this week that he had spoken to Meikle about that moment. He said, I want you thinking in those terms. So the Chiefs know that he could be a game changer, not just on offense, but certainly on special teams.
It's funny because I've been sitting here looking for the last couple of minutes trying to figure out what STC meant. So I'm glad you said special teams coordinator.
It's my own little shorthand there.
I was like, special teams coach? Special teams captain? I knew it was something like that.
Yeah, I thought it was short for strength and conditioning.
Strength and conditioning.
That would have been awkward, but
you
still.
Probably thought I meant STP since you're an old NASCAR guy.
Which I'm not. No, I was locked in on special teams. That's right, my dad is.
Your dad's an
NASCAR. I was locked into special teams.
It's a good band by the name STP, too.
That's right.
But, yeah, so, you know, Georgia put out a hype video for Hardman this week. Our creative team with football, they do phenomenal work, and they put out a hype video for him as well. And then Hardman, like so many others that are in the 20s, he put out a nice RIP for Kobe and Jonna Bryant this week as well. That's, you know, again, that's an athlete that resonates with those guys, because when they were growing up, they all wanted to be like Kobe. And you could tell he just said, you know, the words he had in his post were, it hurts. And then he just put RIP, Mama forever. So, and then he had another nice little moment where he said, we just need to appreciate and love the ones we are around.
Mecole Hardman doing the University of Georgia proud.
He always has.
Really? Yeah.
I don't know if it's in your notes or not here. I haven't pored over them all yet. But did you also see that apparently a few years ago, Kobe Bryant gave a shout-out to Malcolm Mitchell? kind of promoting the book that he wrote. And Malcolm Mitchell this week also retweeted that from years ago. And just another little of those tiny bridge connections that the Georgia athletes and program student athletes here have towards Kobe. So it certainly, like you said, and we talked about it a couple times this week, that it resonates because Kobe was this current athlete generation's idol growing up, and it certainly hits a lot closer because of that.
For sure, but, yeah. I was trying to think. I heard you guys talking about it this morning. You know, who Dave and I are the same age. You know, mm-hmm. who our guy would have been, and I'm you can't help but think about Dale Murphy. You can't help but think about Dr. J, Larry Bird. Jordan was more close to our age,
like a couple of years older, but yeah. not a whole. It wasn't like we grew up idol. You know, yeah. He wasn't one of the guys you grew up idolizing.
My best friend growing up, he was Larry Bird. He shot like Larry Bird. Everything the way Larry Bird did it. You know,
and I love I liked them both too. That was the thing. I was a big Celtics fan, but I love Magic.
Yeah,
love Magic. And I remember there when they played each other in the NCAA final.
Right.
Almost the first one I can remember. So it's just, through all of that.
That was Michigan State and Indiana State.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep. Yep.
That was a big deal. I mean, that was a big deal. And of course, it's elevated now because of social media that everyone can get their message out, whenever they want to. But, for our generation, those were probably the names that –
Did you hear me talking about the space shuttle?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. And that's a good.
That's one you remember where you were when you found out about that, too.
Yep.
You were probably in class, weren't you?
I was actually.
Hey, come see me when you got no class.
Was actually sitting. You know, for some reason, because I heard you talking about that.
Yeah.
I was thinking that might have been was that a school holiday? I remember I was at home. So I either cut class or it was a holiday of some sort. But I remember sitting in the den. When that happened and seeing it on television.
Well, I remember like talking to somebody like on the bus.
So,
but it could have been the next day.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah. So I don't know.
With the teacher,
you get
time,
all those memories get all messed up.
With the teacher, what's her name? I'm drawing a blank here.
Krista McCullough.
Krista McCullough. Yeah. So I think a lot of schools may have done very special things.
We're watching that.
Yeah. That's one of the sad
that's
parts
true.
About
there,
that is
there,
how many kids were watching.
There were classes watching, so it probably wasn't a holiday.
Yeah.
Maybe I was just cutting class.
Yeah.
Not it's, Steve.
It's the statute of limitations over. Yeah.
Can I admit that
if
right
my parents
now, too?
Hear that, are they going to ask me for their money back?
Bad news on that, Steve. When it comes to parents, there's no such thing as statute of limitations.
That's right.
So you just dug a hole.
Because that was 86, right? We were in college.
It was the winter quarter of 86.
Yeah, quarter.
Quarter.
Isn't that funny to say?
Hey, y'all, that old man on the radio is 100 years old.
He just said
quarter.
He's got a rotary telephone and a TV antenna on his roof.
Dave,
sometimes I wish I did.
Was your walk to school uphill both ways?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, good.
Exactly. Yeah. 10:54, Russell Hull. So.
What up?
What up? Oh, my goodness. Well, we got a couple more minutes on this segment. Did you want to throw anything else out there for any of the other guys?
Well, we've certainly got a few notes we've been trying to get to, actually, for a couple of weeks here. So,
is the XFL, that's more.
You want to go there?
We
can go there.
You want to go there? Hey, you want to go there? Yeah, let's talk a little bit about the XFL because I hadn't really kept up with that very much.
Well, they announced their rosters a couple of days ago, and we knew about Aaron Murray being with the Tampa Bay Vipers. But what we didn't know was that two other guys were going to land on that team as well. So, Corey Moore. Who was a defensive back for us and then played for the Texans and Colts for a little while. And then Nick Moore, our snapper.
I like that.
Who was in the Saints camp. He made the roster as well. So Tampa Bay Vipers have three Bulldogs on their roster. And then the only other one who made a roster is Toby Johnson, who played on the defensive line, of course. And he had cups of coffee with the Titans, Jaguars, Bears, Vikings, Panthers, and Lions.
Now, I don't know. Are these rosters regional, sort of like the – what is that other league? I'm already forgetting. The AAF.
That's
Alliance.
That's a good question.
How did they get their roster together?
And did you look at the Vipers roster to – like who else is playing quarterback for them besides Aaron?
I did not.
We can check that out.
I called up the rosters. I searched for Georgia.
Yeah.
And then I wrote these names down.
I hear you. What, you didn't do a deeper dive?
Apple F.
Come on, man.
Because I thought the Atlanta franchise made a horrible mistake by not playing Murray.
Yes, they did.
Because, he's the Georgia guy, name guy. And I didn't know, and since Aaron's from Tampa, and he's playing for the Vipers, he's the kind of the home guy. So I didn't know who the other quarterbacks were there.
Well, and you know, Dave, remember when the WNBA started, that's what they did.
Yeah, they did the regional draft.
So the UConn players all went to the Connecticut franchise. Yeah.
It's like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
So real quick, the backups for Aaron Murray on the Tampa Bay Vipers are going to be Taylor Cornelius out of Oklahoma State and then Chase Litton out of Marshall. That's okay. That's it. Three of them.
And is that a depth chart you're looking at or a roster?
It's just a roster.
Oh, okay.
Just not a depth. Just
oh, okay.
So hopefully he's not their backup.
I was going to say, yeah. Because I remember that Taylor Cornelius.
That's a good point. I guess that's not guaranteed that Aaron Murray's the starter, is it?
Well,
and I don't have the dates when they start, but it's fairly quickly soon. After the Super Bowl.
I think it's February 8th. I think there was a promo on earlier that said that.
That's coming up after the Super Bowl.
So we'll have Bulldogs in the XFL segments.
Yeah.
Well, we got four.
I would have thought there would have been more than that.
I was surprised by that as well.
How many teams are there?
It's like a dozen, I think. Maybe 10 or 12.
Yeah.
Again, I'll keep up with it. I'm excited to hear Steve talk about it, but I almost wish they would do this in the summertime, not the week after the Super Bowl, just because we like to miss football a little bit.
Just for a second. You know,
I do.
And again, as old men here, Dave, you know, we had the USFL, mm-hmm. which was basically a spring-summer type of league, so mm-hmm. that was we never really had a chance to miss football. And so, I like the USFL. I'm not sure where you land on that, but I actually kind of liked it. And then, of course, there was a Herschel component.
I was going to say, I'm kind of scarred a little bit on that, but I remember keeping up with it, but I don't remember getting really into it.
It was just a fun league to watch. They scored a lot of points.
They had good players.
I think what Dave likes most about the USFL is when the Super 70s Sports tweets out all the old logos. Those are pretty sweet.
Those are good.
Those are real. I got to buy Dave a few T-shirts from that
New
site.
Jersey Generals.
Mm-hmm. Is Birmingham in this league?
They do have a team, I thought.
You know, Birmingham is one of those. It's that weird city that's been like in every league except the NFL.
And of course,
they've even been in the Canadian Football League.
And of course, the Barons had the Michael Jordan. Oh, yeah, exactly. When he was playing baseball for the White Sox.
Yeah,
so, yeah. They're the largest city without a professional team, but still gets on the professional landscape a lot.
Yeah,
you know, so people see them a lot.
Yeah,
there are less than I thought. There's only 8 teams.
Yeah, I thought it was a smaller
number.
I'll just
run them real quick before the break. Tampa Bay Vipers, the Dallas Renegades, the DC Defenders, the Houston Roughnecks, the LA Wildcats, the New York Guardians, the St. Louis Battlehawks. That's pretty sweet. And then the Seattle Dragons. So no Birmingham. Which T-shirt are you going to buy, Steve? I think all three of us need to buy a T-shirt from a different team.
What was that, Battlehawks?
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. St. Louis Battlehawks.
Dave's a Cardinals fan. We get a St. Louis one for him.
I got a buddy that's involved with the Battlehawks.
I'm kind of leaning toward that Seattle Dragon, man.
Yeah. I said, Battle Axes? He's like, no, it's a Battlehawks.
You get some inside information on that team?
Yes.
So we have a source right here in studio.
I know
the
a buddy who, yeah. Who
I got loves. A guy.
I got a guy. I know somebody.
A little inside
entire bear. World. All right, let's take a break. We'll do some Super Bowl, I don't know, history, whatever we want to do.
We got some more notes.
Got a lot of names in there. Steve's done some good stuff on this. Steve Cogwood, Dogs in the NFL's along with us. It's 9:30.
Nice little drum solo here. Still playing the Charlie Parker's greatest hits. I'm going to fast forward again, Dave. Well, there we go. He just kicked back in. I know you don't have your headphones on, so you have no idea what I'm listening to. But that's okay. You don't have to.
Hang on. Oh, there we go.
More trumpet, I think. It's the morning show, 960 The Ref, presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. I don't know instruments. What is this?
This is a saxophone.
A saxophone? Okay.
Yeah.
See, I am not. I am musically illiterate. When it comes to saying identify that one, I got nothing. Absolutely nothing. My brother was good at it.
I'll get you some classic jazz albums to listen to, Logan.
I love classic jazz.
I'm gonna get you some Miles Davis.
I just can't sit here and identify
the
instrument.
Charlie Parker's a good start.
That's right.
I don't have to know how it's made. I just like the final product.
Yeah.
Hey, we are graced as we are.
Some Charles Mingus.
Every Wednesday with Steve Colquitt of Georgia Sports Communications. He's here to tell all the secrets of the athletic department, so I'll just turn the mic over to him and let's hear him.
Is this thing on?
Yeah, it's on.
I have no secrets to share.
I know you don't. And if you did, you wouldn't share them anyway.
I like my job and my parking spot way too much.
That is one thing I'm extremely jealous, because we go over to your office for like Media Mondays during football season, and I love this campus, I love this university, but man, the parking situation could be better. Let's put it that way.
You get to see a lot of it when you come to our place, right? Because you got a hike ahead of you.
But you guys are very gracious to hook us up with that parking deck, which works out just fine. So, but I am jealous of your spot there at Buttsmere. That'd be nice to have on certain days. But.
Although when I have to type in my code and my license plate every week, I'm just not very good at that.
In fact, I need to – I've forgotten my code. I may know it. It's been a while since I've used it, so
you'll need my license plate.
You'll need it next week, so you better remember it.
That's right. That's right.
Wait, what's next week? What am I missing here?
Signing day.
Ah, that's right.
I guess we'll have a press conference.
Well,
no guarantees.
We got Super Bowl to talk about, like history with Georgia and the 19 consecutive Super Bowl appearances.
You know, we've talked about that number a lot here recently, but you know, when you really stop and think about it, that is an impressive stat. Mostly because Georgia itself has very little control over how this plays out. It's almost luck. I mean, you got to land on the right team, and you got to
sure.
You know, hopefully you can make a contribution to that team as well. But
the only control Georgia has is just putting players in the league,
and that's the X factor here. And again, with us, you know, I think when the season ended, we were about 37 or 38. So obviously, we're going to get into the 40s this year. So unless you know we have 9 guys playing for the Bengals, then our chances of getting somebody back to the Super Bowl keeps going up.
Don't sleep on Cincinnati, Steve.
Well, and if they keep drafting Georgia guys, maybe that'll change that anyway.
Well, we'll see what Joe Burrow can do with the program, because he was pretty darn good.
I would like for Baltimore to draft somebody from Georgia, though, and Green Bay as well, just in case.
You have a feeling.
They're going to be around for a little while.
Is there anyone associated with Georgia that's with the Falcons right now?
There's not.
Okay.
There's not.
Okay.
We had an assistant coach there, Travis.
Travis Jones.
Travis Jones.
But, yeah.
He was part of the reshuffle, so yeah. He's not with them anymore. But
well, I'm just trying to close my eyes and envision it. Falcons down by 2 with 6 seconds left, and in comes Rodrigo Blankenship.
Oh, wow.
To make the kick.
They like the kicker they have now, though, don't they?
Yeah.
I'm going to butcher his name, but.
Youngway Koo.
Yeah, they just re-signed him.
He had a good end of the season. So.
He's a lefty, isn't he?
No, he's a righty.
He's a righty, okay. Yeah.
I don't trust lefty kickers at all.
Yeah, well, you know.
Okay, John Casey.
John Casey.
Yeah. John Casey's on line one.
It was a joke.
He got to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he's part of the string.
He's part of our list here.
Yeah.
But did he kick barefoot?
He didn't kick barefoot.
Okay, good. Those are the guys I don't trust.
But yeah, he got.
So let me ask you this, because all right, it says the names in bold are on victorious teams.
Right.
The names in red
were rookies.
Rookies. Oh, okay.
Someone asked last week about rookie winners, so I was gonna.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to wade back into that for them. So,
yeah.
So and this is only in the streak of 19 consecutive appearances. I didn't go back, you know, beyond that. Maybe next week if I...
No, we'll just dock your pay this week. That's fine.
Hopefully we can talk a lot about Hardman next week and not have to worry about anything
else.
That's
right.
But,
get Hardman on the show next week.
Yeah, but in this streak, so going back to 03, which would have been Tampa and the Raiders, Jermaine Phillips and Tim Wansley both were rookie defensive backs for the Bucs. So their first foray into the league, they got a Super Bowl ring. Ben Watson was a rookie. In fact, that was the only... Super Bowl win that Ben Watson was a part of was in 2005, and he was a rookie on that team. Arnold Harrison in 2006 with the Steelers, he was actually an undrafted free agent who landed with the Steelers with Verron Haynes and Hines Ward, and he was a special teams contributor for them. So he got a ring his rookie year. 07, Tim Jennings, that would have been the Colts, right, Dave?
Yeah.
With Peyton Manning.
Yep.
And then 2008.
Over the Bears, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And then 2008, Danny Ware, who now goes by DJ because I think he's getting into modeling.
Good for him, man.
When he was living in New York, he was doing that. But
DJ Ware.
DJ Ware. And then D'Angelo Tyson with the Ravens in 13 when they won over San Francisco. He was a rookie. I think he was undrafted as well. And then, of course, we had last week Malcolm Mitchell in 17. Who do they play in the Super Bowl, Logan?
I have no idea.
Okay, sorry.
Sometimes I just block things from memory. I don't go back there.
And then Sony
Steve, why you got to do that?
I just like to poke him with a stick.
Doc, more of that pay over there.
I just want to see if he's listening over there.
See, Steve starts off with a number on the board, and we reduce it every time something bad happens.
No more Diet Dr. Pepper.
No, I'll tell you, if there was any consolation prize for what happened to us Atlanta fans that night, it was the fact that not only did Malcolm Mitchell win a ring, but he was part of it. I mean, he caught a lot of passes in that game.
Some big passes late, mm-hmm, and if you watch, and I'm sure you maybe you haven't, but the last play where the Patriots scored, Malcolm is blocking on the outside edge, and of course David Andrews was the center. And as soon as that guy reaches the end zone, you see Malcolm just jumping up and down. You know, he knows they've won the Super Bowl.
That was the overtime, right?
The one where the Falcons didn't get the ball.
Dave, come on, man. No, it's funny because it's...
You need
it's,
my stick.
I'm very happy for Andrews and brutal. Malcolm Mitchell both, but that's one of those things that I, to this day, I'll have not watched highlights, and I will not watch highlights if I can help it of that game. So, glad they got rings, though.
Well, like you say, tough for Atlanta, mm-hmm, but good for the Bulldog alums that were part of that. And then Sony Michelle and Isaiah win last year, even though Isaiah didn't get to play because of the injury. So we've had a really good representation of rookies winning the Super Bowl, so let's just hope that Mecole Hardman can keep that streak going as well.
Let's go, Miko.
Now I want to know how many Georgia players in the history of the Super Bowl have played in the Super Bowl.
All right, say that again.
Like, you've got each Georgia player in the streak.
Right.
But, like, going all the way back to the first Super Bowl, how many Georgia players have played in the Super Bowl?
Okay, there's my assignment.
No. I don't want to put that on you.
Well, heck, we're 19 in right here.
We've only got half
that many more to go.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
That's okay.
In Super Bowl I, when the Chiefs appeared.
Yeah, well, of course, there's also, you know, the MVP, where Georgia's had three different MVPs.
And that's been matched now by...
Yeah. Is it Southern Cal? I think it is. Yeah.
But Georgia was the first. Now, the Michigan claims the highest number because of Brady.
Right.
They have five, but he was four of them.
Right.
And then Desmond Howard was the other one.
Got one.
And then Alabama claimed, you know, several, but you had Bart Starr.
And Joe Namath.
As multiples, yeah, you know, as well.
Right.
So Georgia was the first to get three different Super Bowl MVPs.
That's right.
That was Jake Scott with the Dolphins.
Yep.
Hines Ward with the Steelers. And Terrell Davis with the Broncos.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, and if Mecole Hardman can return that opening kickoff for a touchdown,
He'll be in the running.
He'll be in the running. Those prop bets will go through the roof.
So both times the Falcons have lost the Super Bowl, there was a dog on the other side playing a big part of that. With Terrell Davis with the Broncos.
That's fair.
Big time.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
So if there's any consolation prizes, there you go.
Now, that was not the migraines game for Terrell Davis, right? That was the other Super Bowl that they
That
won.
Was the one where I think the Seahawks – I mean, not the Seahawks. I think the Packers let them score, right?
But I think
– Was that the migraine Super Bowl?
I think it was because I think Terrell had trouble finding his helmet because he was so incapacitated.
Right.
And they sent him in, and he basically said he couldn't even see.
Isn't that weird?
He just ran forward, tried to get where he needed to go. But
well, you know, the first Super Bowl I remember involved a Bulldog, Fran Tarkenton.
Sure.
Because he was in a lot of them back in the 70s. But it was when the Vikings lost to the Steelers in New Orleans. That's the first one I remember. And I think that was the game that had a safety. You're talking about prop bets.
Yeah.
There's only been a few I don't think there's been that, obviously not it, that it, many safeties.
They started a couple of years ago. It was the Seahawks and Broncos where the game
started with 2-0.
And I think the odds of that.
Now, that would have been a good prop bet.
And I think the prop bet I looked up was like 400 and something to one was the odds
first
put on
first score of the game being a safety.
And which game did you say that was?
This was the Broncos and Seahawks a few years ago.
And if I remember right.
When it sailed over Peyton's head.
And NoSean was in the backfield.
Oh, was
he? Yes, he was.
And I think the ball landed near him, and I think he just couldn't get to it. So.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was that play.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I bet we can find a photo of that or a video of that fairly easily.
So that would have been 2014.
14.
And that was the, let's see, I guess that was the Was that in New York? Would that have been right? No?
Yeah, that I don't know.
Because Champ was in that one.
I just wish Champ had been able to win a Super Bowl. That would have been a great
crowning accomplishment for him. But and Champ was – no, I don't think – I have to go back and look and see which one that one was.
Yeah, that was the 2014 Super Bowl 13th season.
Right,
yeah,
right.
That was in New York. That's when it snowed like an hour after the game.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
After the game. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they caught a break there.
Ooh. It could have been a mess.
One day later, and they had a big old problem on their hands.
I'm still not sure they're going to get another one, but had it snowed, they would definitely. Until they built a roof, you're not getting another one.
Maybe Roger Goodell would tell you off the record that they control the weather, so they knew they were fine. I don't know.
They're seeding those clouds.
Yeah, exactly.
Would you doubt it, though?
Yeah, I know. I'd be like, okay.
Would you not believe him?
Just like the Masters people telling you they can control the weather also. Be the same thing there. All right, so I love that. Yeah, I'm kind of curious about the dogs in the Super Bowl total.
Yeah, we can do
that.
Not
that I'm trying to put that on you.
I love it. This is a labor of love. I love doing this every week.
Is NFL.com your go-to?
You know, it's
like, how do you find Super Bowl? If you're going to go find a Super Bowl roster, footballreference.com?
Pro football reference.
Yeah.
You know, as much as it kind of takes a beating, Wikipedia is great for this kind of thing.
We've talked about that before.
You know, certainly the NFL teams have really good records in there. And we know a lot of the social media people through those. They work with me on getting photographs.
Yeah.
We provide them Georgia pictures, and they provide us pictures of the guys, you know, at that level. So,
I thought you were going to say we go to Dave McMahon, and then he just gets everything for us.
Dave McMahon is a really nice. He'll either pop in on Monday or shoot me an email and say, "Hey, did you notice this?"
So yeah,
he's that guy. His mind is way out there past mine. I mean, he's got it figured out.
We've got a guy that works here for us part-time, and he put a tweet out the other day about Logan, how do you explain? He has all these stats. He comes up with these.
Yeah, Kevin Keneally.
He comes up with these stats. I don't know where he comes up with them. He put one out there about Trey Young and Kobe.
The first time something has happened since then. And
I think I like, how many likes and retweets? Like 100,000?
Like 150,000.
Like,
wow.
Yeah, it was kind of an obscure stat, but it went viral, as they say.
It went viral.
Yes. So anyway, those guys, good for them. That's what they're for. The ones that, you know, you get paid to do it. I guess they're not the ones that get, well, it just depends.
Yeah.
Like those stats, like, or those sites like Stats.
Right.
Ink and stuff like that.
Right. Well, you know, Dave's made a nice career out of this. Dave McMahon's made a nice career out of it, working for CBS on football games and golf tournaments. And
goes to the Masters.
A lot of levels. So it's, you know, if you have that skill set, and you're basically an independent contractor, you can see the world and see a lot of awfully good sports in the process. So, you know, good for him on that.
Long, long time ago, he used to sit where Logan's sitting right now.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Was back in the day.
Show producer?
He was on the air.
Was he on air?
Yeah. Wow. In fact, here's a funny story. I'm probably going to tell it wrong. We were at the Blind Pig on signing day, and we had Noshawn lined up on the phone from New Jersey, and somehow we lost our connection out to for Noshawn to be able to hear us and us to be able to hear him because we were at the Blind Pig, and Dave ended up like on, you know, on no notice, he ended up doing the interview with Noshawn.
How about that? Was this on a rotary phone?
This was on a rotary phone. Actually, I think it was a cord and a tin can, I think is what it was. One of those.
You know, Logan, Dave, and I go back to the days of the station being over on South Milledge.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's up?
Yeah, what up?
Yeah.
Back in the day.
It was a converted house, right? Or maybe even a fraternity or sorority house, but it was a great building.
It was, nice place now, the Hardman Sam's house.
I used to love coming upstairs, up that staircase.
I know.
Hanging out with you and Alan Tibbetts.
And George Allgood.
George Allgood, Chester Alexander.
Oh, my goodness. That was back then, people just smoked in the studio. Can you imagine that now, people just sitting in here smoking?
I may test it one day.
And Steve Split, our great engineer, he was awesome, and he would just, I can't believe they let people smoke in here. I mean, he was right. It's horrible. And people are just puffing away.
I remember y'all had the MacGyver birthday recently. Steve Split was your MacGyver.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That guy
can
fix anything.
Anything. All started with duct tape. All right, when we come back, we'll put the finishing touches on this one. It's 9:50.
This is the Kansas City Chiefs touchdown song. It's what they play in old Arrowhead when they score. So a little bit of love, maybe some karma getting tossed over to Meikle's way.
Man, got one guy that we made it.
Dog in the NFL.
Continuing the streak.
That's all it takes. Just need one.
That's it.
Dog in the NFL.
And he's a good one.
So that'll be, we'll have the game for you, by the way, the Super Bowl. 6:30 kickoff on Sunday. Get your Locos wings or whatever else you're having for your party, and don't forget, go to their Facebook page. You got a chance to win
a wing tray,
a bunch of wings on the wing tray, 50 wings on the wing tray. And beginning today, they are picking one person per day leading up to Sunday and the big game.
So wings for one is what I just heard you say. 50 wings.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
If you're at my Super Bowl party.
Yeah, you tell everyone else you're with, get your own food. Yeah, I got 50 wings.
Win your own 50 wings from Locos. I got mine.
That's right.
You can do your Max Gene Gillis impression.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You guys going to need some more food.
I don't believe this plate's big enough for me. Yeah.
I can't wait. I guess at this time of year, everybody starts their New Year's resolutions. Maybe you're doing great with them. Maybe you've given up. But those that are still holding on to them strong, Super Bowl is a cheat day, man. I'm going to have whatever I want that day, and it starts with Locos.
Now, you'll be here Monday morning, though, won't you?
Oh, absolutely. All right. See, I don't.
No food coma for you, Logan.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Only hangover I'll have is a food hangover.
Yeah, exactly. Can't believe we haven't heard the cries of, why is it the Super Bowl on Saturday? Maybe because we'll crank that up tomorrow.
Because it's one less day for the hotels and the tourist industry in the city that's hosting it. That's why.
Yeah.
It'll never be Saturday.
NFL's played on Sunday.
There's more of a chance of the Monday being some sort of national holiday than there is to move it back to Saturday. It's never going to happen.
The football college game is way more egregious being on late on a Monday night.
But again, it's tourism.
It ain't changing.
It's the NFL playoffs. Just deal with it. Now, kick off at 6 o'clock as opposed to 8:30, let's do it.
but
it's never going to move from Monday, unfortunately.
All right, Steve, always great to see you. I mentioned earlier we were talking about Dogs on Tour at the Wasted Management this weekend.
Big number this week.
Harmon, Henley, Kirk, Keith Mitchell, English, Straka, Bubba, Hudson Swafford, and a bunch going.
I talked to Sepp on Saturday after he got eliminated. He missed the cut in Torrey Pines.
Yeah.
And asked about the Olympics thing.
Right.
And he is ranked number two in the Austrian Federation.
Oh, great news!
And if he stays there, he plans to go to the Olympics.
Awesome! Good.
That's fantastic.
Awesome! That's great. Thank you for finding that out. That's very cool. Well, good for. Is it Bernd Wiesberger, the other guy?
It is, and Matthias Schwab from Vanderbilt is number three.
All right, yeah. And it goes on their world ranking.
It's the Austrian Federation has their formula, but right now Sepp is number two.
Yeah, and
of two,
and Sepp does speak like German or Austrian or whatever. Yeah, he does. Yeah. It's not like
the dad really speaks it.
Yeah,
but yeah, the boys do as well. There's twins, Sam
right.
and Sepp.
That's right,
and the boys speak it as well.
Is Sam, I know we only got 10 seconds, is Sam still playing or is he?
Tried a little bit on the Corn Ferry Tour, but he's more of a Monday qualifier type guy now.
Steve, you're the man. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Enjoyed it, guys.
We appreciate it. Have a great Wednesday. Thanks for joining us here on The Ref.